One thing you might have figured out by now as you've been here through for all the talks is that one of the aspects of the navigation project that we're doing is trying to define what constitutes the essential characteristics of navigation. And I kind of think of this like a house. I mean, when you build a house, you know, there's a framework that you have, and then everybody houses a little bit different. And so you've heard three different, you'll hear a fourth different description of a different house that are all under various stages of construction. And eventually they're going to look a little different, but they're all going to be basically the same. And that's what we're trying to define is what's the same, and then what are the aspects of each site that's a little bit different that needs to be accounted for. And I think Steve did a really nice job of showing how geography plays an important role in this, and I'll discuss this some in my discussion also. I did want to put up just to remind people that, you know, we are down here deep in the heart of Texas, and we're fairly close to Mexico. And you would think, well, I mean, I know that there are a lot of Hispanic folks here and here and certainly up here, but our population is largely Hispanic, as I'll discuss. And that in and of itself poses some interesting barriers for our patient population. San Antonio is the eighth largest city in the United States. The basic population is 1.2 million, but when you include all the metropolitan areas around it, it's probably pushing about 2 million. Largely a Hispanic population, and about a third non-Hispanic white, and then 7% African-American. It's a relatively poor community. The median household is $39,000, and 16% of our population lived below the poverty level in 1999. I think this number is a little bit higher now, if I'm not mistaken. So that's kind of what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a poor community that's largely Hispanic. Now, one thing that San Antonio has that's just a very powerful positive attribute of the healthcare community is the city health department, the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, has a very sophisticated epidemiologic surveillance network or program that they invest a lot of time and effort into to really understand the impact of different health conditions in the community. And if you're ever curious, it usually takes them about a year to a year and a half to get their annual report online, but you go to sanantonio.gov and click the healthy profiles, you'll find, I think, 2005 data now. It's very contemporaneous and very, very useful. But the health district identified 10 zip codes which had in the area that has the most acute health needs. This constitutes about 0.25% of the population and about half the demand for public health services. This is largely Hispanic, poor, young, and old population. And what I mean by that is that these are folks who are accessing public health clinics, and they tend to be either a young or older population. This is the source of the health disparities in our population, and this is really our target population for the patient navigation project that we're doing. Now, this is a map of Bexar County, so Steve gets to put up his geography picture, I get to put up mine. For those of you who have been in San Antonio, the Riverwalk's right about there, right smack dab in the middle of the county. And this area here, that line around there, is actually our loop, the inner loop, and this is about 55 miles long. And then we have another outer loop out here, which is probably about 120, 130 miles long. So that in and of itself is one barrier that our patients have to deal with, and that is just the tremendous distances that people have to drive to get to anywhere. And as it turns out, Loop 410 here is about 50% of construction zone right now, so that makes it even harder to move around. And in San Antonio, they decided to rebuild all the highways at once. Hey, when you got the money, you got to spend it, I guess. This is a little bit closer up of these, again, these 10 zip code areas, and these little dots out here are different healthcare sites. And you can see most of our health community health centers are in our target population areas. The downtown site, which is centrally located, that's our main kind of reference site where most of our patients go through as far as where they're being navigated. The hospital is here, and this thing that says CTRC, which you probably can't, I can only read because I'm close enough, say. It's just that small. There's plenty of room up here. You guys can come sit up front if you want. It's not church. But this is the Cancer Therapy and Research Center, where a fair amount of the cancer care is delivered in the suite. Now, if you look at mortality rates in Bexar County, women between the ages of 45 to 64 years, you'll see that by far the largest contributor are malignant neoplasms, with heart disease, well, other deaths, I guess that's a smattering thing, but as a discrete matter, heart disease is second. So we this is an important problem in our community, and affects women disproportionately in our target population. If you just look at overall cancer deaths in Bexar County for 2004, by age and race ethnicity, so this is increasing decades in life, the red bars are Hispanic, the white bars are non-Hispanic whites, the colored bars here are African American, and then other, you'll see that in general, these are just all cancer deaths to the entire population, that more are in the non-Hispanic white population, which only makes sense because these are the populations that are being identified very early on. But if you look at breast cancer deaths, you'll see that there begins to be a bigger problem, particularly in the 50 to 70 year age range, of women who are Hispanic, and then 80 plus. So you see the Hispanic population overtakes the non-Hispanic one. Now, what we've been doing here, really, again, this is the different take on things. We have three partners that we're working with. One of them is at San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, which I've mentioned to you as being the city public health system, and they very much have a public health model and a disease prevention model. University Health System, which is the county-run health system, and interestingly enough, it has nothing to do with the university. They just like the name, I guess. Is the catching up healthcare system for underserved and poor in our community, but also provides a lot of higher-end care as well. And this is, again, a more acute preventive medicine model that tends to be dominated by the hospital. I mean, it is funded by the Bexar County Hospital District, so it tends to be a more acute care setting than the Metropolitan Health District. And our third partner is the Edgewood Family Network, which is a local Promethora operation that, when we started, were fairly new on the scene and have been they be getting more and more developed over the course of the past two or three years. Now, what we've done is that it's kind of similar to what Beth described in Chicago. We looked at our population and we said, you know, one of our biggest issues is cultural. I mean, is going to be overcoming cultural barriers. And we really couldn't ask the navigators to master a complex healthcare system, a complex financing system, and all the cultural issues together. So we paired a navigator with a promotora for each patient. And the promotora will deal with cultural issues and the navigator with more medical issues, and we'll talk about that in some detail here. The Metro Health District, we've been employing a public health nurse model. These are public health nurses. They're mostly RNs. They've graduated from the accredited school of nursing. They have at least a bachelor's in nursing. They're licensed to practice as a registered nurse. And we don't really substitute any of their education. They have to have this degree of education. In University Health System, we're using more healthcare counselor, community health worker, model, and that is they may have a bachelor's degree in social sciences, health education, or related field of study. They may even have an associate's degree from one of the community colleges. These folks have experience in some area of health education, public health, social work, or case management. They have effective communication skills, and they pretty much all are fluently bilingual. When we started to do this, one of my colleagues in the University Health System was very concerned because our other partners were using a nurse model, we're using a more community health worker model. I said, no, you're misunderstanding. We can compare this. This is what research is. This is great. This is perfect for us because now we can look at two different models in the same population. Now, with the Promotora, these are local health educators that are derived from the local Hispanic community. And interestingly, if you talked with these ladies, you learned that a lot of them were professionals down in Mexico. They were accountants or doctors or nurses down in Mexico and then have come up here and they can't get work because they can't, don't have any accreditation. And so they tend to be a fairly well-educated group of people that just are looking for some work. And they tend to live in the neighborhoods that they serve in. Again, they have this variable educational background. They're ethnically and racially similar to the neighborhoods they are. Some only speak Spanish. Some are not bilingual. Some only speak Spanish. There are parts of San Antonio you go into, you speak English, and nobody will understand a word you say. And they are all skilled and have been trained at providing health information to the local population in a way that's understandable. There is a certification for the promotora. We prefer to have all our promotora certified. There is a local community college program that's offering an associate degree now in this. And so this is beginning to gain some credibility in the community and in the professional community as well. So what we attempted to do is that by combining the efforts of our Navigator with the promotora, we'll be able to build cultural competency in the program, foster communication between the patients and providers, and overcome some of the unique barriers that we have in our population that impede effective cancer care for this underserved segment. And we further propose that this is a cost-effective method. And so we've envisioned using and have developed four teams of Navigator promotoras. So that the promotoras are in the clinics when we enroll the patients into the program. This harkens back to the slide that the lecturer showed earlier, and really the promotoras are addressing the cultural barriers. And that's really what we want them to be doing. That's what they focus their time on. And we let the navigators really focus in on the more medical issues that are, you know, patient barriers and programmatic barriers that the promotoras may not have much information about or much knowledge of. And so working together as a team, they're able to really be a more effective couple on behalf of the patient. So these are the hypotheses that care for design culturally competent programs will overcome identified barriers, and we can develop these. The combined efforts of a navigator for promotoria will be cost-effective, and that navigation will improve access to care for this historically underserved segment of our population. We initiated navigation about a year ago, and we are focusing on breast and cervical cancer. In general, for breast, you have to have an abnormal mammogram or an abnormal physical examination, and for cervix, it's some degree of dysplasia, certainly more than ascus or CRM1 that requires some colposcopic evaluation. Enrollment to date, we've enrolled about, we're pushing 140 women with all types of cervical abnormalities. We've had, I think, about four or five women who've been diagnosed with cancer. Most of the breast abnormalities are with an abnormal mammogram. And it's interesting, we've been working on this for, I guess, a couple of years. And just about every month we learn something new in the community we didn't know was out there. And it's always like, oh, really? We didn't know that. And one thing that we found is very much like I think the other folks have found is that once people understand what you're trying to do with navigation, and you get over the little turf battles that are engaged, and they realize that this is someone that's really going to help them and their patient, all of a sudden they go from, who are you, to, I got another one, I'm sending you three today, and we have more work than we know what to do with in a very rapid period of time. The elements of navigation that the navigators really attempt to do is they meet the patients in the clinic, they provide referrals for financial aid. In this case, we have our own kind of Medicaid equivalent that the health district, I mean, that the hospital district provides called CareLink, which is a very way to, that everybody kind of has a third-party payer. All you have to do is prove Bexar County residents in financial need, no green card required, and this provides some funding source for the patient. They provide education regarding these abnormalities, including evaluation and treatment. This is, again, more along the medical lines. As need be, some of our navigators are social workers. They can either evaluate or they can refer. They address transportation needs in the way of taxi vouchers and the like. there's a medication assistance program that they can tap into, and also they work with the promotores. The promotores also meet with the patients and the navigators in the clinic setting. They will assess the social network in the home and neighborhood. They're really our patient trackers. They're the ones out in the neighborhood saying, if people get lost, where are they? And they'll go out in the neighborhoods and find them. And they help address some of their transportation needs. They may accompany patients to appointments when family or other support are really not available. They do some family education, which is really kind of interesting what they do on behalf of going into the families, into the houses, and actually educate the spouses. We have a number of barriers to care. I mean, we have different sites for screening, diagnosis, and therapy. So it's a confusing healthcare system. I'm sure everybody can say the same thing about their own communities. It's a confusing healthcare system. And this is to people who know the healthcare system. It's confusing. Imagine what it's like to someone who can't speak English, how confusing it gets. There's widely disparate eligibility criteria for different programs that patients can be eligible for. There are financial barriers, particularly lack of insurance. There's a tremendous problem with health literacy in our community, lack of integrated care, and then more practical issues such as transportation, language, and cultural, which the promotores really take care of. And on the cultural barriers that they do are these medical and financial needs, and we really need to understand where the patients are coming from to address them at this. And so promotors will at least try to assess what their financial needs are and help clue them into it and help meet their financial needs as well as family needs. They may even provide child or elder care to allow the patient to go to their clinic visit. And in our population, there are two very prevailing ways of thinking. One is fatalism, that is, oh, it's God's will. It's God's will. I don't need to see a doctor. It's God's will. And then there's also machismo. I can't come to the doctor. My husband won't let me. My husband needs me, wants me to stay at home to take care of the kids. Or more than likely, it's my role to stay home and take care of the kids and take care of everyone else in my family, and they will subvert their own needs for their family needs. And that's one way that the promotor is really effective at addressing, to emphasize that taking care of themselves is taking care of their family. Some specific examples. One was family education. There was one. We had one specific patient who really had problems getting her husband to understand what the problem was, and he was being very resistant. Promotor went into the family, actually educated them, and then all of a sudden everything turned right around. We've had problems with prejudice towards homosexuality from providers that have been addressed. We provide legal assistance according to accomplishing a power of attorney for a patient. And again, women prioritizing their health. Women tend to, in the Hispanic community, subvert their own health needs for others in the family. And so we've really tried to turn that around and make our patients understand that their health is an important aspect of their family's health. And everybody has a problem with teen non-compliance. I've got two in my household right now. In conclusion, I think we've shown that you can really institute a culturally competent program that paired navigators and promotores, at least in our community. There are different models that you can look at, and as we've discussed already today, you'll have widely varying models depending upon the communities that you serve. We are working diligently to continue to enroll and collect data, and I certainly believe that cost-effectiveness data will be absolutely critical to the success of this. One thing that we found is that success stories to date that we've had suggest that we really have a powerful impact in our community, and I'm very optimistic that we're going to be able to show that.